What is up? We're back, 2024. Welcome to the new year on MyFi. Super excited about today's episode. But before we get into that, make sure you're following us on social media. We're at MyFi Podcast everywhere. And please make sure and subscribe wherever you're listening, YouTube, Apple Podcasts, if you're on Spotify, Google, whatever you're doing, please hit subscribe. And wherever you're at, rate, review, man, give us that 5-star, whatever. Excited about this new season coming into the winter and spring, kicking off 2024. We got some great guests lined up. Today's episode is no different. So let's get into it. Yes, man. I hope you had a good holiday season. I know we're a couple weeks into January already in 2024. Took a little time off for the holidays, and hopefully you got to listen to some past episodes in your holiday travels and whatnot. Last episode I did, it was a little bit of a bonus episode about my top 10 albums of the year. You should go or listen to that. I had fun. I had fun doing those things. Maybe not my top 10, my favorite, not the best, but they were my favorite records of the year. Anyway. Let's go listen to that. Maybe find out about a record you didn't know about. Today on the show, I got my friend Manny Muniz. Manny is a drummer, but also an entrepreneur. And that's what we spend most of our time talking about. On MyFi, I want to have guests here, and we do. We have guests here that from all types of creative disciplines and backgrounds. And entrepreneurship is creative. Starting a business is amazing. And Manny owns a salon in Chattanooga, Tennessee called Live Label. It's amazing. The brand's great. The business is great. I met Manny because they were doing some charitable work with a mutual friend of ours named Kessler, who runs a nonprofit called Dynamo Studios. And I post about this all the time on my social media, but I love Dynamo. It's also based out of Chattanooga. They do a lot in schools to teach kids audio production, engineering, photography, videography. DynamoStudios.org is their website, at Dynamo Studios on all their socials. You should follow them. They're invested in the next generation of creatives, and I absolutely love what they do. So I met Manny because he was at the Dynamo Studios headquarters in Chattanooga one day, and they were doing free haircuts for back to school for the neighborhood. And they had a little break, and he goes, "Hey, sit down, I'm gonna cut your hair." And he did. It was fantastic. I looked better than ever, if I do say so myself. And it was awesome experience. And so we just got to know each other, and I thought his business was amazing. They just recently celebrated their 3-year anniversary on the day that we actually captured this episode. And we talk about all sorts of stuff in this episode, just the things you have to learn besides your creative craft to be successful as a creative person. Social media, business, finances, all that sort of stuff that there's crazy things you never think about. And it's a great conversation. So I know you're going to enjoy it. His social media handles are at Miso Manny, MISOMANNY, and at Manny Muniz, MANNYMUNIZ. You can find all this in the show notes, and then check out livelabelhair.com. They got some dope merch. Their brand's cool. He hooked me up with a cool custom Live Label baseball jersey. I'll post some of that on social media so you can see how dope that is. But anyway, I hope you enjoy this conversation that I had with my friend Manny Muniz. Manny, what's up, dude?
And we're live.
You good?
Doing all right.
Yeah, we're live. I'm good, bro. I'm good. How's Chattanooga today?
Dark, gloomy, and cold.
Bummer, dude. Bummer. You just got back from a vacation, though, and it was not gloomy where you went. Where were you?
No, I was out in Puerto Rico. We visited San Juan, visited Flamenco Beach, all the good local spots out there.
Yeah. Where are you from originally?
So I'm originally from Chattanooga. I got a lot of family that grew up in Puerto Rico. So
okay.
It was my first time actually going, seeing, you know, the roots and where the fam comes from, you know, the island life.
That's awesome. So you're Puerto Rican, but you've never been to Puerto Rico until this
right.
Week.
I've been Americanized.
Do you speak Spanish?
Very little. I understand more than I speak. Yeah, I grew up in a Spanish-speaking household. Cut hair in a Dominican barbershop for like 5 years. So I know I can navigate it, but I'm not the best with it.
Yeah, no, my Spanish is terrible. One of my best friends is Puerto Rican. We actually had coffee yesterday. He's a keyboard player and producer and stuff. And, he always like apologizes. He's like, oh, my English, you know, sometimes, and his English is amazing and it's infinitely better than my Spanish.
Right. So,
but you know, it's funny. I did a gig with him in Puerto Rico and he was the music director in the band. And so he's talking in our in ears and they're speaking Spanish. I was the only guy who didn't speak Spanish. And so I had to learn enough, you know what I'm saying, to like not get lost.
See, this is the bridge of the chorus. I don't know.
Yeah. They had pyro going off in the show. And there was a production manager who would just yell, fuego, fuego, fuego. And there was like places on the stage that you couldn't be at because there was like live pyro. And so I knew that word very clearly because I didn't want to get set on fire.
Literally, but, like, why am I shirt on fire? No, hold up.
For real. Dude, so we met a few months ago and you cut my hair and I was super grateful. It was awesome. Doing some work with Dynamo Studios, how we linked up, which is a nonprofit. I've talked about on the show before. I've shared in MyFi Monday newsletters about Dynamo. It's a dope nonprofit that's based out of Chattanooga that helps kids learn audio engineering, production, photography, videography, all sorts of stuff. So we linked up through that. You cut my hair. I felt like you were doing something super fresh with Live Label. And part of what we do on the MyFi podcast is really want to talk about all kinds of creativity. And entrepreneurship is one of those things I think that people don't put in the bucket sometimes of like being a creative person. But that's what you do. And I know you're a drummer and we'll get on into all that as well. But like how old is Live Label, the hair studio that you own?
3 years old, literally today.
Oh, nice. Happy anniversary, bro.
Today's our anniversary. It's a good day.
Nice. Nice, dude. Now, were you styling, cutting hair and all that like on your own before you started Live Label, or was that like the start of your career?
Yeah, so I've been cutting hair for 9 years now. Live Label is a fairly new concept. But yeah, I was doing hair for 6-7 years before starting Live Label. I started out at my parents' garage, just cutting all the friends. I was in high school telling homies to pull up, post on Instagram, who needs a cut, you know, acting like I was the hottest, greatest, latest thing, but I had no idea what I was doing, but I did my parents' garage for probably about 2 years. And then I was so tired of getting so hot, so cold in the winters, you know, that I was like, okay, I need to go get like a barber license. I need to go be in a actual barber shop so I can present a better, you know, like experience for the clients or whatever than like, hey, let me put a trash bag over you and toss you around in my mom's garage. Like it was crazy what I was doing back in the day, but we're pulling up to dorm rooms, UTC, Southern dorms, like, anywhere I could cut hair, I'll just do it, you know, side of the road, wherever. And then finally went to hair school. That's when I was also in college. I got a degree in criminal law as well. So I was double timing. I was going mornings to barber school, night times to classes, there for a while. Finished up both, graduated, went to this one barber shop. I always wanted a haircut for them, but they're always so booked up and busy. So the first time I went in there, no, we can't get you in. The second time I went in there, I was like, okay, here's my license. Do you have a chair? Like, let me just come work for you guys. Nice. It was one of like the hottest, greatest barbershops in the town at the time. And so I wanted to be a part of the culture. So went in there, thought I was a good barber, jumped in the pool. And I was like, oh, I don't know. Seems like anything about haircutting. And I was, you know, a couple years in the game at that time. Learned a lot from all the other good barbers in there. Like I said, rock and rolled with them for I think 4 years. And then I was like, I got an idea and I wanted just to like incorporate kind of where I started in my mom's garage. And then, but also having like a super nice, higher end barbershop feel to it. Like incorporating some of this, like my mom's a hairstylist as well. So I grew up going into her salon, seeing the higher end salon culture, communities, like customer service and all that. But then I also worked in a barbershop, so I was seeing the laid backness and the fun that can go on in barbershops. So I wanted to incorporate both, but then also incorporate like the garage, modern industrial feel into this idea. I just called it my passion project. I was like really young at the time. I think it was 22 or 23 when I was like, all right, I'm just going to post up in the heart of Southside downtown and just create a business. You know, I never did anything like that at the time. So just jumped right into it and then found this super awesome. Our shop's kind of like 90% windows. So it's really mm-hmm. just like a big open area. That gives you that like almost outside garage feel that I had. So when I found that place, I was like, I need to start a barbershop in here.
Yeah. And then, I've seen the building. It's amazing.
Yeah. A lot of natural lighting, The only thing that could make it better was just having like a slide up garage door, you know, like where I could like pull up the windows and just let people in. But yeah, no, it was just a passion project I had. And then now it's turned into more of like, all my like passions into one. I wanted to incorporate music into it. It's right next to Chattanooga's biggest music venue, or it was. They just moved the Signal to another location, but dropped it right next to the music venue so I could be cutting all my artists that are coming into town. I wanted to incorporate like my skater surfer feel into it. And then also, like I said, just back to my roots where I had started. And now it's turned into, like I said, collabing with artists, with Dynamo. I met Kessler. He's a super awesome dude. It's a clothing line. It's a brand name. It's our tags like Stay Live, which is just, you know, make sure everyone's living life to their fullest. And then then all of our barbers are providing the confidence to do so. You know, I'm not feeling my best. I'm not looking my best. You leave the barbershop, hopefully more motivated, more confident to take life by the horns and get out there, you know?
Yeah, dude. You said something a minute ago that I think is super important. You said something about the culture of these barbershops. Yep. That was one of the things I was so impressed with. So when I met you, obviously followed Live Label and I followed you on Instagram. There is something about the culture of Live Label that I think is super attractive. Like you guys immediately, the staff that I met that day, there's I think three of you guys there that day. Everybody felt like they were like a part of something. And I think that's hard to create, bro. And it seems like you were intentional with that from the beginning, not just for yourself as a creative, but as a creative leader too. And I want to know about the culture. I want you to talk about the culture, and I want you to talk about like how it seems like you created it with a lot of intention because it's strong. So when I followed you guys on Instagram, it's very visible as to like what's important to you, how you care for the people that work with you. You're always celebrating the people that work with you on social, like all that sort of stuff. So I just want you to talk a little bit about, I want to hear about the culture and how you got it to be so strong and so clear as to what it is.
Compassion and humility, really. That's what I started with, was just because I came from a place where it was kind of like, I want all my guys to eat as long as you're not doing better than me. So the bar, there's always a ceiling. And with this place, even to the layout of how the business is, like the ceilings are like 30, 40 feet high. Like as like a visual representation, you know, it's like, I didn't want to feel like I was blocking anyone in. Man. I want everyone to grow, because I feel like I always had dreams and visions, but I can never accomplish them because I always had someone kind of being like, okay, no, you need to do this. Okay. Don't charge more. Okay. Don't try these new services. Don't do this. Don't say like, so I wanted to create a place where it was just a creative playground for like barbers, stylists, whoever to come in and take what they're good at and excel it as far as possible. And then me using any of my resources to help them do so, and it's like putting the ego aside. It's like, I don't care if someone comes in and works there for a year, then leaves. At least it was a stepping stone for them to get to where they needed to be. And kind of when I started this place, I knew I had it in me, but I was more like, let's just see where it goes. But the second I started doing it, I was just like, okay, this is a concept that's working. And so let me provide opportunities to all the other people that I might come in interaction with and give them an opportunity that I wasn't presented with, really. And then also being real with myself and realizing that I can't always be the best. Whoa, what is going on here? I can't be the best at everything. And I'm not. And then realizing my weak points. And if I have someone on my team that's better at editing or better at designing like get togethers or parties or events or whatever, letting them take charge on that and trusting them to do so instead of like boss man does everything. Like if someone's really good at something or like designing merch or like drawing, like we got all of our barbers and stylists have like different little skill sets, and I like focusing on that and then letting them shine through that. And that's where you see that big team effort of everyone pouring in and designing like kind of where we are now.
Yeah. You said something earlier too, that I also wanted to ask. And I think this plays into the culture answer. Your mom was a stylist. Was there a point where you just like fell in love with cutting hair and you just went like, dude, I want to be a barber. I want to be a stylist. I want to do this. Was it always in you, or was it like, nah, did it sneak up on you? Like, was it just a family business? Yeah. Like, how'd you get in?
It did, because, I was running from it for a very long time. My mom and then my oldest sister both do hair, and they were always like, you know, getting off the school bus, going to go wait at my mom's salon to go home or whatever. Like, I was always around it. So it was one of those things that's just like, you should do hair. You should do hair. Da, da, da. Like, I'm like, no, that doesn't seem fun. Like, I don't want to do what y'all are doing. I want to do something original. I want to go find my own lane, whatever I was thinking at the time. But how I even started was, we had one barber we were going to here in town, me and my friends. And then one day we had a wedding to go to or something. He couldn't fit us in. So I was like, you know what? I'll just cut your hair. We literally went to Walmart, got some like super cheap clippers, and I just started hacking away at his head, not having any idea what I was doing. Finished the cut, took him to the barber shop, and I was like, hey, what do you think about this cut? And they're like, I mean, it's not bad or whatever. I was like, well, it's my first cut. And they're like, wait, you did that? And they were like, yeah. And so since then, I just had the clippers, and then I cut my other friend's hair, and then I cut my other friend's hair. And then after doing it for a while, like, cause I wasn't even charging people for this for a while, or I would have like suggested tip amount of $5, but it was just one of those things that I just like, I liked hanging out with the boys, would play some music, hang out in the garage and chop it up. And then, like I said, that probably around that when I started wanting to take it seriously, when I was like, oh, this is kind of fun. There's potential to make money in this. Yeah. I like the creative aspect of it. I can dress how I want, listen to music all day long, chill with the homies all day, really, and have really good, meaningful conversations behind the chair. And that's when I was like, okay, I don't have to like follow my mom's passion, but I can make my own, or like, you know, just making the transition. Because the longer I was in college, the more I realized I didn't want to be anywhere in the justice system or joining. Like, I was going to join the Marines, come out, work, just do crazy things. And I was like, okay, there's a lot more freedom with haircutting. And that's when I was kind of just like, I got all the facts, and I was just like, all right, this seems like a lot more better of a long-term solution or a plan.
Yeah. Well, it seems like an extension of creativity for you, the way you talk about it. And I noticed, like, so when we met, I meant to say this earlier, you guys were actually donating your time, and your salon is a high-end salon. It's high-end haircuts, great stuff, super quality. But you guys were at Dynamo cutting people's hair for free to start the school year. Yep. And getting kids looking good, you know, going back to school and giving yourself away in the community. And that impacted me a lot too. Is that something that you guys do? Is that a value that you guys have as Live Label? Cause I feel like I've seen you post several times about you guys being out in the community and doing charitable things in the Chattanooga area and stuff.
Correct. Yeah. So we actually throw a couple events each year to be able to do give backs for the community. And it kind of just originates from, I pay attention to I focus more on the community and who's actually coming in the shop and where we actually live. Because to me, barbershop's a community thing. Hair salons are a community thing. It's a place for everyone to come together, you know. Whether you've had a good week or a bad week, talk to your stylist, let it out, leave feeling better, looking better. So it's like paying attention to those aspects and then actually giving back to the community is a bigger thing to me than like, oh, let me just go to a day to day. And it's actually refreshing. Like I said, seeing the smile on the kids' faces or like having an impact to where it's like purposeful, you know, and wrapping back with Dynamo Studios. It's like Kessler was, I just met, bro, when I met you, I met Kessler probably like, I don't know, a couple weeks, a month before that. I was actually cutting hair at this, I don't know, what do you call him, a DJ or this band called Illenium. We were at a show in Atlanta,
I
was backstage, and then he came walking through, and then I think that's all I saw of him. Like, it was just a hey and bye, and then he had followed me on Instagram. Hey, the guitarist told me if I want to cut, come to you or whatever. I'm in Chattanooga. Where you at? I was like, I'm in Chattanooga too. So that's when we made that connection. But when I was cutting his hair, that was a combo we kind of had. It was just like, I see him as like kind of like my big brother, or like a mentor at this point. But it's like, he shed so much knowledge on me to like, oh, what's your goals? What's your end goal? And I was like, well, I just want to be like on a fat tour and just drum, whether it's like just 3-6 months, like one time, just play in different cities and then kind of just see where that ends up, or just for the experience. And then sure. He was the one that started teaching me about purpose and like, okay, well, like, what do you accomplish during that? Like, okay, you get done and you have a few picks and then you played a cool show. And like, hearing someone that has been done the tours, done the albums, done this, done that, it's like, he was able to help me zoom out more. And then that's when I started adding more purpose with live label. It's like, okay, we're cutting hair. People are paying us. It's just a job. Look, what impact is that having? So that's why I started focusing more on community-based stuff. And it was like, this is his community. Our community is all in the same like downtown area. So it's like, why not just tap in and then give back to the inner city kids or people that can't come into our shop and get that experience? You know, they're like, I really just want a good haircut, or I really just want to have that like good, like, customer service feel, or like, not that I'm just like rushing out of a cheap barber shop, or like whatever it might be. And that's when we started doing the back to school cuts for a couple of the schools around here. And then I created an event called Cuts and Carnitas, and we did it over Thanksgiving. So kids, families, whoever that might not be able to have a Thanksgiving dinner, we were providing a full Thanksgiving meal for them. We did cut styles, braids, whatever, makeup for the girls and guys, and then also had lawyers on site to provide legal consultations and stuff for people that couldn't afford it. So yeah, no, it was like a 3-for-1, like lawyers, food, and cuts, you know. So it's like, and that turned into now, I guess our next event's in April, and it's going to be actually at Howard School, and then it's going to be, I guess, just in the gym, more organized of a thing. But yeah, no, like, just doing different outreaches it benefits the business, you know. It's people, we get more recognized as a business, to then all my guys can have more clientele or whatever, get more workers, and then also, like I said, have lasting impacts in the community, that works like a annual thing.
Dude, figuring out how your personal creativity, this is for everybody, not just you, but figuring out how your personal creativity like makes a difference in the world is a huge deal. And that was one of the reasons why I love doing the work that I get to do with Dynamo. I get to go down to Midtown High School here in Atlanta once a month, and we do some work there. And I've been up to Chat a couple times, and Howard, and some of those schools around Chat that Dynamo works with. And I love what they do. But you figuring that out for yourself and live label and how you guys like make an impact, gosh, man, that's super inspiring to me. It's got me thinking, like, even personally for me, like, I do the Dynamo thing and a couple other things, but, you know, wanting to figure out more and more, like, how your creativity really has an impact on the world around you is super important for, it doesn't matter what industry you're in. You know, if you're a writer, blogger, hairstylist, drummer, whatever it is that you do, filmmaker, whatever it is, just figuring out how that works. And I think that's why you guys have continued to have so much success, even though you're only 3 years old. It feels, the culture and the purpose and all of everything that you're doing with the business feels really developed. One of the things that I notice in the pictures that I see from Live Label is hairstylists, like great hairstylists, look at the people that they're cutting like painters look at paintings that they're making.
Yeah.
And it's super interesting to me. I think of hairstylists maybe in the same ballpark as like tattoo artists, where there's like somebody's actually like it's creativity like involving another person and both of your expressions, which is just neat to me. I don't know that I've processed like all of the creativity behind styling. Was there a connection for you musically into like the creativity of what you experience in music and you bringing that in to being a hairstylist and discovered the creativity of being a hairstylist? Or have you always seen being a stylist and a barber as creative?
I've always seen, I would say they're definitely two separate things. And if anything, I would get more creativity for music from the barbershop and then haircuts and then like dealing, like I can have a certain combo, or I can like see a dad and his son walk in and then like the way he'll like hug his son or say, it'll make me express things or think of something different, like in the studio of like, how do I explain it? It's like, I take real world stuff and it'll impact me. I feel like I'm like an empath, so I feel a lot of things. So like I can see just the way people interact or just things in the real world or like the way someone rides by on their bike or something can give me inspiration of like just seeing certain things. So like I said, I would say barbering almost helps me creatively to process things with the music side of things. But no, I would say barbering is like a whole creative aspect in its own. Like, because I feel like when I'm barbering, I'm completely different. Like, I have a different mask I wear than if I'm like trying to create in the studio or something. Like, it's more, I'm more eccentric. Like, I'm expressing things differently, like the way I'm talking or the combos I'm having. Rather than if I'm in a studio setting, I'm more like internal, if that makes sense.
Like, yeah. No.
I feel like it's definitely two different creativity things. But no, it's, I would say like, it's all just passions. I've never switched up. Like I could have gone the 9-to-5 route, or I could have gone like, let me go to college to do this. And like, I did the college, but it was like, I could have just turned off the creativity at a young age. But I wanted, even if I could put it in words or not, like growing up, I just knew that was whatever that was. I didn't want to change it. So now that I've gotten older, I've just never changed. I'm still the same person. I've just, now all my hobbies and creative outlets are what's paying me. And I think that's the most beautiful thing. So now, like,
that's amazing.
I feel like with creatives, it's harder for, it's definitely harder, especially if like, you're like, well, I got to make ends meet. Well, I got to pay bills. So I got to go, let's say I go work at, I don't know, like a restaurant or something. And then I got to get off. And then, okay, well, I'm not in the best headspace, but I'm trying to make music as well. It's hard to transfer that. But I feel like if you're constantly in a flow state, if you're constantly in doing stuff you enjoy, it's easier to pour back into the music stuff or to create musically.
Yeah. Do you still want to, go on that tour?
Oh yeah. I'm super down. So this is the funny part of all of this. And I never saw myself as a boss or a CEO or like trying to get into anything business wise. But the funny thing is like, so I grew up like going to Warped Tour and local shows and like all these cool little things. Cause I guess my sister had the biggest impact on that. She was always like listening to like rocky music or more like edgy music. And then it just bled off into me, and she was always dating musicians at the time. So when I was around all that, my only focus when I was growing up was, I don't care what happens, I just need to drum for like one band for one Warped Tour. Like, then we go to a different city every day, 3 months out the year, I come back to regular life and still be normal.
Yeah.
But of course that got canceled. But no, seeing her dating broke musicians all the time, and then seeing the way my parents were viewing it, it was like, okay, if I'm going to do this music stuff, I need to find a way to make money and then make sure I'm financially good first. So I spent, you know, from 10, 12, 13 to 2021, 22, finding ways to make sure I can provide for a family. I could be financially stable or whatever. So when I did make that leap back into music, it could just be fully pouring into music and just not even have to worry about if the album sold out or if the tours are sold out. It'd be more, come off more like passionately and not just, okay, we now make this so it can blow up on TikTok and make a few dollars.
Yeah.
It's never been about the money for me. So it was like, with the music stuff. So it was like, now that I started the barbershop, I was like, okay, this is my last source of, why am I drawing blanks? What's it like, extra income, like passive income? Oh, yeah. It's another passive income source.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, let me just do this. I can always have a place where I can go cut hair. No one's telling me what to do, what time to come into work, whatever. I wanted the freedom for that. Let me create a dope atmosphere for other people to not have a boss breathing down their neck. Got all that squared away. And then now I'm at the point where it's like, okay. And that's when I met Kessler. And the studio's right outside my neighborhood. So it's like,
oh, dope.
All the money situations in check. So now I've been attacking the music world, the studio world, learning, producing and computer and like all this stuff like 10 times harder now, because now it's my time to like do that. And I feel like we're just being in these rooms. And like I said, haircuttings brought me into the music scene too. I was a lot of like A-list artists, personal stylist there for a couple years. So it's like everything's wrapping back around to music. And then now that the finances are good, I'm like, cool. I'm open for whatever. If someone needs drums tracked, if someone needs a drummer on tour, whatever the case is, I got time and money to do so. To where like childhood Manny's like is content with it. You know, I'm not sleeping on couches. I don't need to like wonder how we're going to get fed that night, or if this bar is going to pay us, or like whatever it is. So it's like, I just wanted to take all the financial stress out of my life before I jumped fully into the music stuff like that.
That's amazing, dude. Super smart. I mean, sometimes it's hard enough to like stay focused on your dreams and the things that you want to do. It's even harder, I think, to go about achieving those dreams in a way that makes it sustainable, you know? Yep. And like you said, you know, you can go after something and be gone 3 to 6 months and then you come back, but you come back to what?
You exactly. know? Here's a couple and, cool picks.
yeah. But it's true. You know, knowing what you value, knowing what kind of culture you want to build, knowing what kind of life you want to have, and then building towards that. You said something a minute ago about like you never saw yourself as the CEO, you know, boss man sort of type, but that's what you're into. Like that's what you're in now. You're the creator of Live Label, all these sorts of things. Do you, and I would, well, let me say it this way. 30 years ago, if you were a barber, you either were a barber and you worked in a shop, or maybe you owned the barber shop and there was a little bit of business involved. But there wasn't all of what's involved now. Now there's like branding, social media. Like if you want to be successful, it's the same in the music industry. Like I have to keep, I can't just be a guitar player, a producer, songwriter. I have to be on social media. I have to make sure I have connections. I have to know how to run a business. I have to do a podcast. I have to blog. I have to do all these sorts of things. There are people who don't mind that. And there are people who like really, they just want to be a guitar player, or they just want to be a barber. Did you naturally sort of take on all those things and you kind of just do it and you don't mind it? Or did you have to like learn how to do all those things? And it was kind of a grind figuring out how to be not just the barbering part of things, which is hard enough, but having to figure out how to run a business and do the financials and do the social media, do the advertising and build the brand and all those other things.
I would say I'm right on the cusp of both, and also on the cusp of seeing business and barbershops. Like you said, 30 whatever years ago, I saw it before internet was a thing. And then I also saw it after internet was a thing. And I was operating pre-internet and I was operating after the internet and branding and advertising and all this other crazy stuff. So the shop I worked at was more on the old school ways. We have a shop here. It's full of people. We're going to take walk-ins all day long and that's all it's going to be. And that's all. But I'm also the one to always see things like, what's the next step? How can we make this better, bigger, whatever? Mm-hmm. So then, messing around with Instagram, messing around with, everything I've done is, I feel like it's just a stepping stone for people like to build on something. So nothing ever came easy to me, but it's also something I never minded, because like I said, I've surrounded myself with everything I love. So it's like, even if I got to sit around and learn how to edit a video better, or know how to do my taxes or like stuff like that, I'll do it. I'm always the one, I don't mind putting in the work. Mm-hmm. Nothing came easy to me, but I've done a lot of learning. Like I said, a lot of books, a lot of business books, a lot of YouTube videos, a lot of podcasts I've watched. And I've jumped into things. And then if something comes up and I don't know how to do it, okay, let's learn it. It wasn't like, okay, let me study all of business first. It was kind of just like, because that's my thing. I feel like you can study and you can learn and you can know about a lot of things, but you're still gonna get slapped in the face in real life. So you still need to be on your toes to be able to react when that stuff comes up. But yeah. I'm kind of the crazy one that's just like, let me just go do it. Let me put my name on this leaf. And then, okay, this problem came up. Okay, leadership problems came up. Okay, hiring, money, branding, merch, like all this stuff will come up. Okay, let me learn how to do it. But that's why I say barbering's community. So I can cut someone's hair that's, hey, I'm thinking about investing this money here. And he's like, well, try doing it better this way. And so like constant interactions and then constantly self-educating was definitely how I made all that happen. But that's what I hate. So your whole concept of some people just want to play their instrument. Same. That's all I want to do. But it's like I don't see it as I have to do everything. I've structured my life and my day to days in ways where it's just like, yeah, I can learn here. I can do taxes here. I can do this here. Like, and it is very distracting toward a point. It's like, well, I haven't even played drums today. So it's like, it is very overwhelming, but it's like, I'm in both boats. Sometimes I just want to cut hair. Sometimes I really just want to play drums, but it's like, today's day and age, you have to be different. And that's where it's good to surround yourself with people like you, Kessler, like all the homies around me that are like, nah, just go ahead and put in that little bit of extra work. Go ahead and write that email or go ahead and learn this or go ahead and learn how to use Ableton better or whatever it is. Like, all right. Cause it's just skills that help all across the board. You know, like you might learn how to even like doing stuff on Ableton has helped me like with video editing randomly or like, sound clips and like just random things. Everything's kind of transferable. So if like you learn these skills, it helps like all across. But no, that's the same. Sometimes I just want to play drums, but I know that's another thing Kessler showed me was, okay, you could be good at this instrument, but okay, what happens when you want to go to the studio and you're out track and you have no idea what you're doing? Or let's say you're on stage and there's audio issues or something. Like if you're not knowledgeable and quick enough to do those things, it's like you're kind of useless anyways.
Yeah. Have you always known what's next? Like you seem like a very like intentional, structured kind of guy. Like, and have you all with Live Label, have you always known what was next, or have there been seasons where you're like, I have no idea what I'm doing?
I would say most of the time it's I have no idea. I'm an opportunist. So I'm the walking definition of when life gives you lemons, make some lemonade. I can have a general idea or like that whole analogy of just like shoot for the stars, you're going to land on a moon or something. Like I always know end goals on things. So it's like, I wanted to be the biggest, baddest. I wanted Live Label to be a household name. That's the end goal. I need everyone to know about us. I want to have a solid community. I want people repping my clothes or my brand, like we do Nike and all these other dumb Balenciaga, like all these other brands and stuff. So that's always end goal. How we're going to get there, we'll see. And that's kind of how I approach a lot of things. So there's no expectation. And if life throws a curveball, okay, cool. Let me figure out whatever this problem is. And then, but a lot of the times it's kind of like doing what I think's the best thing to do. And then something, I'll meet someone like you or I'll meet someone like Cass. And it's like, okay, well, I'm kind of headed this direction, but let's take this detour and make it into something so much bigger. You know, it's like, or this merch line didn't work out or this business deal didn't work out, but then boom, something else would come up. And it's like, okay, just constantly just navigating, you know. Okay, this switched up, and then now let's head towards this goal. Okay, we finished that. We're operating. Okay, let's head towards this goal. Okay, something else came up. Let's kind of navigate over here. So just never get stuck and see everything as an opportunity and not a setback, you know?
Yeah. I want to ask you to wrap up before we wrap up. You say you listen to music a lot when you're working. What do you jam in the barbershop when you're cutting hair, dude? What's your jams?
Ooh, we're all over the place. And we even, like, if clients pull up, like, oh, there's a super new cool album, or hey, you guys might like this, check out this. Like, it's kind of like a karaoke machine in there, really. Or not a karaoke, it's like a
jukebox. So,
it's like a jukebox. Our go-tos, we just keep it chill. It depends on the vibe. Like,
yeah, what's your vibe, though? What's your vibe?
Yeah. I like cutting to... Lately, I've been on, like, some Fred again stuff. It's like, I feel like he's brought... Or, like, Masego. He's kind of like a jazzy hip-hop artist. I like old-school hip-hop, just to give that, like, old-school inner-city barbershop feel, or...
Like 90s?
Yeah. I don't know, modern stuff, Kanye, like, I would say rap, a little bit of rock. Some days, like I said, like, on a day like gloomy, rainy, maybe it's just some like lo-fi. Based it off the mood of like outside and kind of how many people are in the place. But I like rap, a little bit of dance, or like house music, just to keep that, just keep the beats high, you know, the mood higher. But we're down with whatever. Anderson .Paak, he's always goated. Oh, yeah. Hippie Sabotage, just chill beats, really. When I first started, we kind of ran, it was more like, okay, here's personal music, I'm gonna play that, here's a bunch of rap. And then over the years, I've dissected it into more like, I want it to just be high vibrational. Whatever it's going to be, let's make it high vibrational. If I want to listen to some like hood rap in my car, I can. But I think for like the shop, I just want it to be, no matter who walks in, we don't have to be like, oh, here's a mom and a kid. Let's like, there's so many curse words. Like, I don't want to have to worry about stuff like that. High vibrational, just vibey stuff, really.
Yeah. Kind of about the brand.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bro, it's awesome. What you're doing is great. Live Label's awesome. I appreciate the dope baseball jersey. I'm gonna show that off in one of the posts when we're
Let's go.
Yeah, man. I appreciate the time today. I appreciate you sharing everything. There's a lot of inspirational things that you've been through and things that you've done, I think that people really appreciate. So, man, I appreciate it. Keep up the good work up there in chat, and hopefully I'll see you soon. I need to come up there and get
hopefully we link up soon. Yeah, whether it's the studio or a cut, let's do it.
Yeah,
I'm right around the corner, so.
Awesome. Man, thanks for being on the show, Manny.
Bro, appreciate you having me. Thank you.
What a great dude. Somebody like that. It just inspires me. Somebody who went after their dreams, made it happen, is making it happen. Looking forward to the future of everything he's doing with Live Label, and hopefully with his drumming stuff as well. I need to have him back so we can talk more about the drum side of things. Manny's a great drummer. I hope you enjoyed that. I hope you took away some things. Mainly, what I take away from conversations like that is that I'm not alone as a creative person just trying to figure out how to make a living doing what I love to do. And every step of the way, there's new challenges and new things. We're all in this together. We're trying to figure it out. So hopefully that was inspiring and encouraging to you. Make sure to follow Manny at MisoManny on Instagram, at Manny Munez as well. He's got a couple of accounts there. And then livelabelhair.com. Make sure that you go check out their website too. And stay in touch with everything they got. Buy some merch from them. Yeah, if you're in the Chattanooga area, South Tennessee, North Georgia, hit them up. They're the best in the biz, in my humble opinion. So I hope you enjoy the episode. Make sure you're following MyFi on socials at MyFi Podcast. Make sure you're subscribed wherever you're at. Also, MyFi Monday is a weekly newsletter that I do for creative people. You can sign up for that at MyFiCoaching.com, or there's a link on MyFiPodcast.com as well. And you can follow me at Lee T. Baker on social media. You can get to all the links and whatnot there. But MyFi Monday is a newsletter that I do. It's free for creatives each week, just filled with practical inspiration. So go check that out. Check out all the episodes of the podcast. And till next time, you guys have a good one.